There we go. First, I just want to say thank you to Shmuel and Nira Kaplan, who both walked out for a minute, but wherever they are. Thank you very much for having Shiram here. I think this is the first, that's not true, this is not the first year in this house, because you have the Daf Yomi, right, and the Shavuos.
Daf Yomi, what do you mean?
And the Shavuos.
The Marathon.
Right, the second Marathon was also here. So,
Three dots here.
You should be zocha to have many, many more shirim in your house and be helped to be marbits a lot of Torah in Yad Yamin. All of us can benefit. Okay, so tonight we are obviously going to talk about Tisha B'Av. I'm going to focus more on the halachic aspects, and Rav Daniel Reifman and Rav Aaron Alon, Reb Aaron, I guess we'll say, hopefully, assuming they make it, we'll focus on some of the more machshava elements. If they don't make it, I guess I'll have to do all of it. But I'm hoping that they'll come. They're supposed to come. But you know, Rav Daniel was saying it might be hard to get out of his house, and Rav Aaron Alon was saying the later the better. So I'm sure they'll make it at some point. We're not going to stay here all night, obviously. So. Anyway, so we're going to focus mostly on the halachic aspects of this year specifically. I don't know if anybody remembers, but I actually gave a very similar shir last year.
It was the same schedule, huh?
Yeah, it was the same dates last year, meaning that Tisha B'Av was a nidche.
You're just going to push play now?
Basically, right? I was going to read my notes, but the play button, it is recorded somewhere. I think that shir from last year was recorded. Check on YU Torah, you can find out. That's right. Can't you hear? We'll see how much I remember. Anyway, so this is the same days as last year. It's a Nidche. Tisha B'Av comes out on Motzei Shabbos and Sunday. And there are a host of halachic issues which are specifically relevant during this year, interestingly enough. You might have thought, oh, well, just it's Shabbos, and then Tisha B'Av comes, and you know, what's the big deal? You know? And the response is that there's actually quite a few halachic points that one has to be aware of when one deals with this year. And we'll break it up, I guess, into maybe two or three categories as we go along. With each one, we'll have a couple subcategories. The main categories will be, number one, what is the status of Shabbos itself? Meaning, are there any differences on Shabbos in terms of the fact that Tisha B'Av this year is on Motzei Shabbos and the fact that this year, the 9th of Av is actually Shabbos itself? Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two is, what about Motzei Shabbos? Meaning, how do you deal with the transfer over from Shabbos to Tisha B'Av in terms of what you do in Shul and making Havdalah and stuff like that? And number three, are there any differences in terms of Sunday, the rest of the fast day, just in terms of the severity of the fast because of the fact that this year specifically it's a Nidche, meaning that it was not the 9th of Av is on Shabbos and the 10th of Av is the day that we fast. Does that create any halachic significant differences or not? Those are, I guess, called basic categories. So that goes on. So you can divide this however you want. I could say that the post fast is basically part of Havdalah, meaning the questions of Motzei Shabbos and how you make Havdalah. So either that comes out.
When can you do laundry and then?
Good point. Okay, that would all go with the fact that it's a nidcha. Yeah, okay, meaning all the questions of whether. Well, he'll find out soon, right?
Usually, you know, if we wait until the afternoon,
right?
Yeah. Right. So that's part of the whole question of whether the fact that it's a nidcha makes it less severe than everything else. Okay. So those are, I guess, we'll call them our three categories or so. Okay. First, number one, what is the story of Shabbos itself? Meaning Shabbos, we know when it comes to Avilus and when it comes to Shabbat, do we fast on Shabbos? No, we don't fast on Shabbos. That I think we all know, right? Nobody's going to suggest that we should not eat on Shabbos. It's not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you do fast on Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton. Okay, Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of all Shabboses.
Right,
correct. Okay, they go together, meaning the fact that it's Shabbat Shabbaton, the fact that it's described that way in the Torah, is the reason why we fast on Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av is Derabanan. There's no such Shabbat Shabbaton. Okay, so it's a day of Avelos, and the halacha is that there's no public show of Avelos on Shabbos. Okay, so that's clear. However, believe it or not, there are a number of areas where we are. I don't want to use the word machmir, but basically we do express the fact that Tisha B'Av is the 9th of Av on this year specifically. Okay, so let's go through them. And before we go through them, just understand, why would you say that Shabbos has any different status than any other Shabbos of the year? Meaning, why, if we're pushing off Tisha B'Av till Sunday, why might there be any questions at all whatsoever in terms of the fact that it's the 9th of Av? What would be the logic behind it? Anybody have any idea?
Well,
It has to do with the halacha and Hilchos Aveilos, actually. If anybody remembers or is familiar with Hilchos Aveilos, there's a halacha within Hilchos Aveilos, which is very relevant here, when it comes to Aveilos on Shabbos. Exactly, there you go, perfect, you got it, excellent. Okay, halacha is that there's an Aveilos b'farhesya on Shabbos. The public showing of Aveilos does not exist on Shabbos. However, privately, meaning aspects of Aveilos that are more private in terms of how they're observed, actually are observed on Shabbos. Okay, and we're not going to go through all of them now, but certain aspects, which we'll see, some of them actually overlap with what we're going to do on Tisha B'Av, do apply on Shabbos. Because privately, meaning things that people, other people will not be able to detect, might be relevant on Shabbos. Okay, so with that introduction, let's take a look at three, how many do I have here? Three or four categories here for Shabbos specifically. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to go through this relatively quickly. Number one, okay, Friday night. So there's a question whether one, whether a couple is allowed to have marital relations on Friday night. So just in terms of the halacha, interestingly enough, it's actually a machlokas haposkim. When it comes to avelos, the halacha is that one is not supposed to, during Shiva at least. On Shabbos for Tisha B'Av, there's actually a big machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's perfectly fine. That's what Sfaradim would hold. And the Ramah, interestingly enough, the Ramah, which is what Ashkenazim follow, the Ramah says no. Okay, it's not allowed, except if it's Leil Tefillah, if it's night of going to the mikvah, so then the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe it would be okay, because that's a special mitzvah. But other than that, Ashkenazim generally, interestingly enough, Ashkenazim are machmir. In addition to that, so many poskim say, this I found in the Piskei Tshuvos, which is this book here, okay, he has a lot of good stuff. So he suggests, according to many poskim, that even harchakos apparently should be kept on Friday night, meaning hugging and kissing and touching and like the serious harchakos, according to him, maybe should be kept Friday night as well. Okay, interestingly enough.
They're holding two nights of those.
Yeah, basically, because
one and then not the other.
Right, correct. Because of the fact that this year the ninth of Av is actually on Shabbos, and because of this concept that Avelos Bitsina, private Avelos, does apply, so they're extending that to Shabbos also and saying that even the Harchakos apply as well. Now again, it's not so clear, it's not clear that everybody agrees to that, but it seems, at least for Ashkenazim, that that would be the proper thing to do.
Are not called Sina?
It is, that's why we're being Machmir. That's why Ashkenazim is being Machmir.
Ashkenazim is saying even with Sina.
I was saying
you should do...
Ashkenazim, according to the Ramah, it's in, I forgot where it is, Tuf Kuf Nun.
We do more for private, but not for public.
We're machmir more on private things, according, at least in this context, okay. According for the Ashkenazi Pesach. Okay, again, unless it's Leil Tefillah. If it's Leil Tefillah, it's a...
If a woman supposed to go to the mikvah Friday night, they
shouldn't
go to the mikvah.
No, they should. No. If it's Leil Tefillah, then it's fine. That's good. Okay, that's fine. That's a mitzvah. I mean, in that case, it's a mitzvah. So that case is excluded from this. But if it's not that case, so then Ashkenazim would be machmir. And again, according to many achronim, so the harchakos, at least the main harchakos of hugging and kissing and touching and things like that, that would be one, it seems like it's appropriate to be machmir on that also. I wrote in my notes here, I don't remember who said this, but maybe like some of the more lenient ones, like passing babies and some of the things that you don't actually touch, but you pass things back and forth. So it could be that that's already not such a big deal. That certainly during the daytime, that would probably be permitted because in the daytime, we're less worried about these things. And maybe even at night, to pass a baby might be okay as well. But that's essentially, you know, the discussion that's relevant to this case. Okay. Any other questions before we go on to the next one? Okay. Very good. So he talks about it. Yeah, there's a whole... If you want to know where it is in the Piskei Tshuvos, so it's letter Yudzai, Sifkatan Tavkuf Nundalad, letter Yudzayin. Okay, that's where he talks about it here. Okay. Now, next case. All right. Can one learn Torah on Shabbos?
Yes.
Strange question. So Moshe says, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, first, why am I asking that question? What's the basis of the question? Tishba B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah. If you're also Avelos, but sin, learning Torah is also something which is included in the type of Avelos that is private Avelos. Another person cannot tell if you're not learning Torah or what you're learning. I mean, it can look, but it's not something which is easily, you know, evidently clear for somebody else looking at you, you know, that you're being machmir, not learning Torah. In addition to that, the fact that we know that during the rest of the week, if Tisha B'Av falls on Wednesday or Thursday, so there's a custom, according to some, that on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, you don't learn Torah. Familiar with this? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's in the Ramah. Was that? Right, so the Ramah says that the custom is not to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos. It doesn't mean you shouldn't learn anything. It means if you were going to learn, it's best to learn things that are related to Tisha B'Av itself. Okay.
Is this also applied to Friday afternoon?
Or no. Definitely only Shabbos. Okay. So there's a question on this year on Shabbos as well, that even though it's Shabbos, but still maybe we should say that that one should not study Torah, which is not Tisha B'Av related, on Shabbos afternoon. Okay? And the bottom line in halacha is that it's a big machlokas. Okay? The Ramah says it's actually the custom is not to. It's in Tafkuf Nun Bet, where he says the rest of the years you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't learn. And then he says, I'm sorry, it's Tafkuf Nun Gimel. And then he says, the custom is not to learn Torah and Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, except for things that are Tisha B'Av related material. And then it says if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we don't say Pirkei Avos in the afternoon. I mean, those that have the custom to say Pirkei Avos in the afternoon shouldn't say it.
So
wow.
Even overrides the Kavua Minhag.
Yeah, that's what the Ramah says. But
when he means the afternoon, does it mean like after Shkia?
After Chatos. In the afternoon, like after 12:40 or whatever time it is. However, others disagree, okay? The Mishnah Berurah and a number of other poskim say it's Shabbos. Give me a break, you know? They don't say it quite that way, but basically they say that because it's Shabbos, and, you know, we're not... Yes, we are observing certain aspects of Avelos, but that's going too far. Because anyway, even if it's during the week, it's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to learn
but
Torah.
It's a machlokas, shouldn't we be much merit to learn? Meaning, safek daraisa. In other words, you have a minhag, the minhag is sheva al-tazeh, but you're saying... You know, to extend that minhag is like already. I'm not sure, so maybe I'll extend the minhag.
Subject to
Rabbanan,
there's no
argument.
Learn Torah.
He's saying the mitzvah of learning Torah is basically the machlokas. Okay, the marshal and the Vilna Gaon and others basically say that's like this is ridiculous. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, and you can't force somebody to learn material that's related to Tisha B'Av, but that's not what the guy wants to learn. So yes, maybe there's a custom, but there's no halacha you can't learn Torah. It's a custom, okay? It's exactly what you're saying. It's a custom to not learn Erev Tisha B'Av because you want to get yourself in the mood. But the bottom line is if there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, you can't just say the custom will override the mitzvah if you don't feel like learning Tisha B'Av related things. So therefore, the Marshal and the Gra and others say, you forget it. Even during the week, you can learn. And on Shabbos, many other poskim as well, I think the Chai Adam and others say that on Shabbos, there's even more reason why you can learn whatever you want. So the bottom line is basically that it's a machlokas, but yeah.
But Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, it might be different than regular Shabbos. You're saying Kol HaChomer Shabbos. This is not just Shabbos, it's just Shabbos, Tisha B'Av.
That's what we're saying. That's what we mean. Yeah, that's what we mean.
You're saying Kol HaChomer that you should be allowed to study.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
We talked before about Erev Shabbos being...
Erev Tisha B'Av. Meaning, if
now
I'm...
Now this right. is actually Tisha B'Av.
Right,
Shabbos.
Exactly.
I think the Shabbos and the fact that
you're right. It could go both ways. But the point is that because we're not really observing Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, and the fact that it's Shabbos, so there's more reason to say that you should be able to learn Torah. If even when Tisha B'Av falls out on Wednesday, many posts can say that you can learn Torah on Tuesday afternoon. So this is the bottom. Yeah,
8th of Av in that situation.
You're right, and
this is the 9th of Av.
You're right, but it's still the fact that it's Shabbos. You're right; it can be looked at in both directions. But the poskim that are makil basically say that the bottom line is that it's Shabbos. It's not it's not the observance of Tisha B'Av, and therefore you should be makil. So the bottom line is that the Mishnah Berurah says, strictly speaking, the halacha seems to be that you're allowed to learn whatever you want on Shabbos of this year of the 9th of Av. Okay. However, because it's a discussion and it's not so clear. So there are many poskim that say, bottom line, that if possible, it's better if you could or if you want to, it's better to learn something Tisha B'Av related. Okay? Which I think is true anyway. Meaning, you know, if you want to get yourself into the mood of Tisha B'Av, you don't want to be mourning, you don't want to be like crying and sitting on the floor, but just in terms of understanding the greatness, the magnitude of the event, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and maybe a little bit about what the Beis HaMikdash was to us, anything related to that, you know, definitely is appropriate to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av on Shabbos this year in the afternoon. So it seems like it's better, especially if you're talking about a public shiur, which we have, Baruch Hashem, we have quite a few of here in Yad Vashem. It seems like, you know, ideally it's better to focus the public shiurim on Tisha B'Av topics. That's exactly, I think, in our issue, that's what happens.
Even if there's like a Daf Yomi that...
So Daf Yomi is fine. But you could, again, if you want it to be Machmer, you could argue the Daf Yomi should be in the morning, which I think usually is anyway. But for those Daf Yomis that are in the afternoon, I don't think that they're going to stop their Daf Yomi because of this. Okay. However, if you usually have like a regular Gemara Shira, a regular Hashira about something else, so maybe it's a good idea for multiple reasons to focus it on Tisha B'Av. And again, I think in the Yeshiva, that's what happens here.
The Kehilati is switching Tzor Bashir to Hilchas Tishrei.
Right. Okay. Good. And it makes sense because it's in Yonah Diyoma anyway. It's something which makes sense because of the time, you know, the time period that it's related to. So again, do you have to do that? I don't know if you have to do that, but it's appropriate. It's a good thing to do for multiple reasons. And I think again, that's what often happens for a lot of the Shirim anyway. Okay. But again, if you yourself like want to learn Torah and you want to learn something else, you know, you're allowed to. We're not saying you can't learn something else. Just be aware that there's an issue. Okay. Next question. Can you take a pleasure stroll or a walk on Shabbos afternoon? So interestingly enough, the answer is it's not clear. During the rest of the Tisha B'Av, following the rest of the week, so the Rama says the custom is not to be mitayel on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, meaning to go taking a nice pleasure stroll outside for whatever reason. Again, I guess in the afternoon here in this country and where we live is pretty hot, so most people don't do that anyway. They go early in the morning or at night. But, you know, for those that do, so during the rest of the other times, that seems to be avoided. On Shabbos, it's also not so clear what the halacha is. And it seems like there may be room to be machmir that ideally it's better not to have like a pleasure stroll on Shabbos afternoon just to wander around after 1 o'clock. However, again, it's not clear that it's really based on any actual halacha. So, halacha, you know, to say that you can't go on a Shabbos walk, that it's usher, is not something, you can't say that it's usher.
What
did you say?
This is a machlokas of what the minhag is, no?
Seems to be.
So,
during the rest of the rest,
I'm saying, isn't the minhag just based on what people do?
Yeah, but it's only, it doesn't,
everybody forgot that tradition for 100 years.
The Rama is saying the custom in his time where the people did not take walks on Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, that's what he says. Is it the custom that's been retained? That comes up in most of the Achronim. The question is Shabbos, which doesn't come out every year, is not so clear if there is a custom and if so, what it is. So it seems that there's enough. There are some postmen, I think, in the Shari Tshuva that they mention. Yeah, the Shari Tshuva quotes some postmen that seem to say that even on Shabbos you shouldn't take a stroll, at least certainly in the afternoon. Again, you know, I can't tell you it's usher, but in terms of it's a custom. But
unless you're going somewhere.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about walking to shul. I'm talking about, no. We're talking, pleasure stroll means a stroll that you're just taking a nice Shabbos walk that you do because it's nice. Okay? Again, I'm not saying it's awesome, but it seems to be that it's something that maybe the Shabbos is not the best Shabbos to do it if there's an important reason if you really want to. So, you know, there probably is some room to be lenient about it. Okay, next question. We'll try to keep moving here. Sudash Lishi. Yeah, that's for sure fun. Okay, Sudash Lishi. Does Sudash Lishi take on any different role this year, this Shabbos, as opposed to any other time? So, what's that?
Finish early.
Okay, so the answer is in terms of what you're allowed to eat, that everything is permissible. Okay, I think this most people know already.
Eat meat.
If you want. You don't have to. We always eat chalavi at Sudash Lishi. That's right. My kids like cereal at Sudash Lishi. That's our secret. They will be very unhappy if we have meat. They will. So it's actually explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. This one is very clear that it says that for Sudash Lishi, you can have whatever you want. You can have meat and drink wine, and you can even have the Suda, the size of the Suda that Shlomo HaMelech had on his table when he had this great feast.
Not when he was in God.
Right, no. Not when he was thrown out of the kingdom and the demon threw him out. Yeah, no. When he's at his table, when he's the king and he's at his table in the palace, right? So that's the halacha. Okay, because it's still Shabbos, you can do whatever you want. So that's what the bottom line halacha on the Shulchan Aruch is in this situation. However, in terms of the time, so whoever mentioned Gary or somebody mentioned that the timing, or Moshe, the timing is different, okay, because of the fact that the fasting of Tisha B'Av starts, anybody remember when? What time? You don't have to know exact time. The halacha, what's it called?
To stop by Shkia?
Right, so the time period is called Shkia, right? What time is Shkia? Somewhere around the area of 7:30 or so. It's about 7:30, 7:28, 7:25, you have to check exactly. Somewhere between 7:25 and 7:30. So Shkia, you have to stop. Why? Because already after Shkia, it's already, Ben Hashmashos, it's twilight, it's possibly Tisha B'Av, and therefore fasting already begins at that time. 7:26, okay, great. So that you need to stop. The other restrictions also of Tisha B'Av, including washing your hands, I guess anointing is not so much of a question, because anointing on Shabbos anyways, you're really not supposed to be done. Those also should be stopped at that time. The exceptions are leather shoes. That doesn't have to be taken off until nightfall. And sitting on low surfaces also, like on the floor or on a small low chair, that also does not begin at Shkia. That generally, the custom is to begin only at Tzeis HaKochavim at nightfall. So those two things you don't have to worry about. Other than that, again, the postmen talk about, can you invite friends at Sudash Lishi? Okay, so if you want to have guests, technically it's allowed. But it depends. If you don't usually have guests at Sudash Lishi, I don't know if this is like the right time to suddenly have like a whole family or a whole 10 people over. It's a machlokas. But if you don't usually do it, I wouldn't go starting now. If you have a reason why you want to, or you have Shabbos guests or whatever, so it's fine. You don't have to go crazy about it. One more point. Also, singing Zmiros is an interesting question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chew about whether you can sing Zmiros as Yudash Lishit. He says that it's fine. You can sing normally. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Halicho Shlomo, so he has an interesting point where he adds in that maybe you shouldn't add in singing any extra songs that you don't usually sing as Yudash Lishit. Okay, very, very interesting. Again, whether you have to do that, I don't know. It's a good idea to follow that also. What's the point? The point is it's supposed to be getting you in the right mood. Now, I would just add in here, I don't know if he's talking about like adding in songs that are relevant to, you know, like slow songs and remembering the Beis Hamikdash, like Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, which there are some beautiful tunes to. So if you don't usually sing that song, Yudash Lishit, and you want to sing that song a couple times over, like right around the time of Bein HaShemashos, you know, when it gets to be Shkia, so I don't think that's included. I think that's the kind of thing that probably would be appropriate, like even more appropriate for this time, when it's getting to be dark and you're waiting, you have nothing else to do. So to sing like a very slow song like that, to really think about, you know, that we missed the Beis Hamikdash and we want Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring it back. You know, slow, stirring, you know, soulful songs like that, I think are quite appropriate. I don't know if that's included in what he's saying, to not add in extra songs. He's talking about, you know, fast, happy songs. That's something I would add in. Again, if you sing, it's very powerful. If you sing and that's in your minds, you know, get your kids into it also. My kids sometimes make fun of the fact that we sing. But if they, you know, if you get your kids to, you know, understand that this is a very special time and a very powerful time when you're transferring over from Shabbos to Shabbat, and you have to have the right, you know, the right mood, sometimes singing can do that for you. Okay. End of Shabbos. So what happens now? We move into the end of Shabbos. What do you do? So basically, the Shabbos is over at the regular time. Here in Yabed Yamin, what's generally done is the following, though other places this is not necessarily the case. Here, because people live so close to the shul, so what generally is done is that Maariv does not start like at, you know, Shabbos being over on the dot. Usually what happens here is that Maariv will start, let's say, 10 or 15 minutes after Shabbos is over. And that gives you time, basically, to change your shoes and to bring your kinos to shul without having to worry about, you know, hachana of like bringing kinos to shul on Shabbos for after Shabbos, which is a problem of preparing. So we avoid all that by basically saying Maariv starts, you know, whatever the time is. That's the bad, you know, bad number and guy. I don't know if you're Gabbai also, but whatever. It's, at least in the Kilati shul, 10 to 15 minutes after Shabbos is over is when Maariv starts. During that time, the first thing you should do ideally is to say Baruch Hamal Dovin Kodesh L'chol. Okay, nothing else, just Baruch Hamal Dovin Kodesh L'chol. Then you can take off leather shoes. That's generally what we do. Also, because we're home, so the bracha of Bori Morei Ha'esh should be recited at that time. Okay, we'll get back to the rest of Dal in just a second. But Bori Morei Ha'esh, for us, if we're still home, then that should be recited at that time. And then basically you can get your kinos, and if you want to change your clothes, you can change your clothes and go to shul, et cetera, et cetera.
What'd
you say?
What the Bori Morei Ha'esh?
A regular Havdalah candle is fine, according to most opinions.
You like the regular Havdalah candle?
Yeah, most say it's fine. If you want to be Machmer, you can use one candle, but it seems like the regular Havdalah candle is okay. We'll get back to the regular Havdalah in just a second. Okay, that's my next topic here. Okay, if you're not doing that, meaning if you're in a place where they don't delay Maariv for 15 minutes after Shabbos, and Maariv starts right away and people are already in shul when Maariv begins, so then you have a question of how do you bring your kinos book? Because if you bring it on Shabbos for after Shabbos, that's not so great. So either you would have to bring it before Shabbos, or you'd have to bring it on Shabbos and use it a little bit on Shabbos. Look at the kinos, or look at Eicha, look at something in the Siddur for a little bit to make sure that it's there. And the same thing would be true also for your non-leather shoes is also a problem. You'd have to bring your non-leather shoes before Shabbos because you can't wear them on, you're not going to wear them on Shabbos, and you're probably not going to carry them on Shabbos to Shul, but that's also a problem of Hachana. So that's also something to be aware of. In terms of Bori Mari Ha'esh, there's also a question how to deal with that if you're already in shul, because, again, we're not going to get into the details now. There's different opinions on how to deal with that, whether it's if a man is in shul and the wife is at home, so should he listen to Bori Mari Ha'esh in the shul, or should he wait till he go home afterwards? It's a bit of a question how to deal with that, because women, there's a question whether women are supposed to make the bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh or not. Okay, that's a whole discussion which we're not going to get into now, but some say that the bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh is not for women. So therefore, because it's a shiloh, maybe the wife shouldn't say it on her own. Women should wait for their husbands. So again, we're not going to go into that here. It's not so relevant. Just to be aware that that is a question. I've had to deal with that if you're already in shul. But again, for us here, if we start Maariv 10 minutes late, we're fine. Okay, basically, the husband or the male can easily make the bracha of Bori Mari Ha'esh at home when everybody's there before he goes off to shul. Okay.
Motzei Shabbos is 8:05, and
okay.
Maariv.
Okay, great.
8:30.
With
25 minutes break.
There's nothing else to do that.
Great. Okay, Havdalah. What is the story with Havdalah? Meaning the rest of Havdalah. So the story of Havdalah is basically the halacha according to the Shulchan Aruch is that we do not make a regular Havdalah on the night of Tisha B'Av, okay, Motzei Shabbos. Why is that? Because Havdalah is generally made on a cup of wine. And if you're fasting normally on Tisha B'Av, you cannot drink the cup of wine. So basically the rule is that, generally speaking, Chachamim said that we do not make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. What do you do? So we said a minute ago that you do make the bracha of Bar Mar Ha'esh. That bracha you do make, because that's on the fire, that doesn't matter. The fact that it's Tisha B'Av is not, you know, it doesn't stop it. So we do make the bracha of Bar Mar Ha'esh. The bracha of the Besamim is not recited either. Anybody know why?
Those are things that were created only then.
Not Besamim, that's fire. But fire is fine, meaning fire...
Oh, the Neshama Yetera.
Exactly right. I mean, the main idea of the Besamim is because we're upset that our Neshama Yetera, our extra Neshama, is gone, and we want to make our Neshama feel better that it's missing its Neshama Yetera. But on Tisha B'Av, we're not so quick to make ourselves feel better. We don't really want to feel so much better because we feel pretty upset. At least we're supposed to feel upset. You can listen to my share from last week about how we're supposed to be feeling during these days. But we're not particularly trying to make our Neshama feel better. If we're feeling like we're supposed to be feeling Tisha B'Av, our Neshama should be feeling like it's being torn out of us. So basically, B'Samim is not done. B'Samim is also not done when you do recite Havdalah. We'll get to that in a second. Not recited at all. Okay, so that's it. Other than that, Motzei Shabbos, you do not recite Havdalah. What do you do? So for most people that are fasting the whole day of Tisha B'Av, what you do is you make Havdalah on Sunday night. Okay, how do you do that? So this is the same thing as other days, which are like Havdalah during the week for whatever reason.
What's that? People forget Motzei Shabbat, or they can't. Make Havdalah, you can do it for another 2 days?
Yeah, you can do it afterwards. In this case, we're saying L'Chachila, you don't do it until Sunday night. Okay. Right, I mean, that's your thing. You're allowed to make Havdalah even after Motzei Shabbos. And, correct, so that's what we're relying on here. Okay, because it's not appropriate to make it on Motzei Shabbos, we'll make it on Sunday night. What do you do? So what we do basically is you say the bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen, and then you just say Hamavdil. Hamavdil and Kodesh L'chol. You don't say the Bari Mar HaEsh because we said it already Motzei Shabbos. And the Besamim we don't say because the Besamim is gone. Okay, that's not part of our Havdalah this year. Okay, that's the story with that. If you one who is not feeling well or sick and needs to eat on Tisha B'Av, so we're not going to get into the details here. If you have specific questions, you can ask. But basically there, so if somebody has to eat on Tisha B'Av, they should make Havdalah before they break their fast. Okay? And that has to be discussed, exactly how to do that. But essentially what's going to happen is they're going to make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av on something. Many people say it's better not to do it on wine. So either you can use Chaber Medina, you can use, many people say you can use coffee or tea or soda.
If they're eating Bishiorim or something.
So that's a whole discussion, which is not for now. Most poskim say you don't have to eat shiurim on Tisha B'Av, even if you're allowed to eat. You can just eat whatever you need.
You mean because this year it's a nidcha?
No, that's any year.
Oh, really?
It's a machlokas, but most poskim say that you can eat whatever you need on Tisha B'Av. The shiurim business, which you would do on Yom Kippur, most poskim say Tisha B'Av, because it's Rabbanan, is not relevant. Okay, again, if you have detailed questions, we can speak about it later or some other time. But that's what you would do. You make Havdalah on those things, or if you want, the Shmir Shalas Kolchasa also says if you want to give it to a child, like we discussed last week, some of us that were here, you can give it to a child between the ages of 6 and 9. You can give them basically wine or grape juice and have them drink it for you. Okay, that's also an option. And many poskim say that if one person in the house is eating at the Shabbat and making Havdalah, then everybody else can listen as well, and everybody else can also be Yotze Havdalah, and then they would not need to make it again on Sunday night. Okay, once you heard it once, and you can even do this. Let's say that, you know, somebody who's not feeling well is gonna eat. Let's say that we're talking about the Baal HaBayis. Let's say the male for now. The male is actually allowed to make Havdalah for somebody else. Okay, and then whoever's gonna drink, they'll drink the tea, or your kid will drink grape juice, whatever it is. And then everybody who heard that, including, you know, the Baal HaBayis who made the Havdalah for somebody else, nobody has to make Havdalah on Sunday night. Okay,
and theoretically, if such a person made the Havdalah later Motzei Shabbat, you
right.
can do the B'Samim Bracha then?
No, so B'Samim we don't do because it's Tisha B'Av, and we're not, same idea, we're not
that
interested.
That person who...
Yeah, no, right, B'Samim is not done because it's Tisha B'Av, we're not so happy, so we were trying to get we don't want that. Okay, correct. The question of the children making Havdalah, we're not going to get into now, but there's a question whether children need to make Havdalah before they eat. Okay, a kid usually hears Havdalah, do they need to hear Havdalah this year? So the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa and many poskim say the answer is no, because a kid is allowed to eat before they make Havdalah, and this year because everybody else is not making Havdalah anyway, so you don't have to go out of your way to make Havdalah for your child in order for them to eat. That's what most poskim say. If you want to be Machmir and you want to make Havdalah for them, you know, there is what to talk about, but it seems like the standard practice is that you don't need to do that. Okay. let's just quickly finish up here. Now I'm out of time. Now that everybody actually came, so this is the end. All right. In terms of fasting, so are there any differences in terms of fasting this year? And the answer is because it's a nidcha, so the Be'er Halacha quotes a number of poskim who say that you can be more mekil on breaking your fast this year than other years. What does that mean practically? It means that even if you have a little bit of an illness, you have a slight headache or something else, again, you may not want to break your fast, but halachically you actually would be allowed to this year because it's a nidcha. Usually you have to be more ill than that. You have to be a choloshein bo sakana. You have to be, you know, sick enough to be lying down or whatever it is. In this case, even if you're feeling slightly ill, so halachically, according to these poskim, you would be allowed to break your fast. And again, if you want to follow that, you're allowed to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. In terms of women that are pregnant or that are nursing, so they also can follow the same rule. Generally speaking, they should fast if their doctor allows it. But if they're not feeling so well, so again, you don't have to go crazy and wait. You know, even if it's a slight illness, in that case, they would be allowed to break their fast right away. And Sfardim, actually, those that hold by Rav Avad Yosef seems to say that they don't need to fast at all. Okay, and again, if they're feeling perfectly fine, I don't say they shouldn't fast, but if they have any question whatsoever, then already like in the morning, let's say Sunday morning, if they want to, according to Rav Avadia, it seems like they would be allowed to break their fast. Okay, that's for Sfardim. In terms of the end of the show, just to finish up here, so we said before that you should make Havdalah Sunday night. Males that are at Maariv should make a point of coming home right away so that other people in the house don't have to wait a significant amount of time in order to make Havdalah. If there's a question about that, so there are different opinions on what to do, meaning let's say the husband is taking his time, he's going, say, Tikkun Klali for 3 hours afterwards, whatever it is. So there's a question whether women or others in the house can make their own Havdalah, or should they eat without making Havdalah. There's different opinions about that. I'm going to leave that for now, just because we don't have time, but there are different opinions about how to deal with that situation. Other than that, in terms of Motzei Tisha B'Av, so the other restrictions generally do not apply to Motzei Tisha B'Av, meaning you can do your laundry, you can... other things that apply during the 9 days you'd be allowed to do, taking a shower would be okay, stuff like that. The only things that are not done, generally speaking, would be eating meat and drinking wine, okay, because of the fact that it's still right after the fast of Shabbat, it's not appropriate to eat meat or drink wine, okay? Listening to music maybe could be in that category as well, because listening to music also is something which gives you a lot of simcha, so one could argue that maybe that's also best to avoid on that night, but it's not the same, you know, it's not quite the same level. Eating meat and drinking wine is the most important thing. Which they? That's fine. That's all fine. Okay? Everything else is fine. Okay. Just to wrap up here, I just want to say that this is an interesting year. The fact that Tisha B'Av and Shabbos come together is something to stop and make us think a little bit about what Tisha B'Av is and what Shabbos is. That Shabbos could symbolize the fact that the Jewish people and everything that we celebrate in Jewish history, in a certain sense, triumphs over, you know, the Avelus. We celebrate our history, and with the fact that we've survived all this time, definitely triumphs, and we don't fast on Shabbos, even when it's the ninth of Av. At the same time, it's in the back of our mind. It's always in the back of our mind, as we said, some of the halachas that do apply are the customs, the fact that going into Motzei Shabbos, we think about the fact that we realize we're missing something. And even on Shabbos and the rest of the year, you know, we want to say, yes, Simcha, and the fact that we're serving Hashem, and we have all these great things, that overrides in terms of how we personally serve Hashem. But at the same time, to remember that not everything is there. We still are missing a major, major chunk of what our spiritual observance is supposed to be, and we want the Beis Hamikdash back, and we want to feel that feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being with us and understanding where we're supposed to be and not having all of our enemies trying to, you know, blow us out of the water, out of the land and into the water, whatever it is. That's basically an interesting, you know, dichotomy this year of Shabbos and Tisha B'Av together. Hopefully we should come to the point that we know how to observe Tisha B'Av properly and Shabbos properly and get to the point that we only have Shabbos and we don't have any more Tisha B'Av. Shkach. Okay. Yes, I did actually see that. Personally, I'm not in favor of that opinion, but there are some that say that. Again, not...